At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
So I think nowadays, the fact that we install so much equipment that is basically driven from onboard circuitry, like solid state circuit boards, that can be expensive and can be destroyed by bad power or surges, I think it's really important to continue the discussion on brownouts, overvoltage, surge protection. So we have Fred Krusch from Able Power Products. Fred's company partners with Rector Seal to help design surge protection devices, and we're going to have this conversation surrounding how do we protect our expensive devices that we're putting in for HVAC and even in the home, refrigerators, stoves, dishwashers, microwaves. They all have these devices, circuitry installed in them. How do we protect it all? How do we protect our investments? So we're going to get into, like I said, surge protection, close proximity lightning strikes, direct lightning strikes, over under voltages. We're going to talk about how a metal oxide varistor is used in a surge protector, but how we can extend its life by using a gas discharge tube. So we get all of this done in this conversation. This is the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master, and guys, they got tons of training available. They got two training labs at their main facility in Vaughan, and they have some training labs scattered across the country of Canada as well. And they're starting to move into the US, guys. So US listeners, look for Master in the next few years, making a splash in the US. So if you're interested in training, getting to one of these labs, guys, reach out to your local sales rep or person at the local branch and get into some of these trainings. Check out master.ca. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas, and they provide uniforms that are blue collar for the blue collar trades. I mean, they got an array, guys. They have Carhartt stuff. They have some stuff that's expandable, stretchy, and comfortable. T-shirts, hats, whatever you guys need to keep the techs in your company warm, cool, whatever it is. So check out cintas.com/HVAC Know-It-All if you want to check them out.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada. Your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
Fred, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. And we're going to talk about surge protection. And it's funny that we're going to have this conversation because so our family goes to a trailer up north of us, and we go there for weekends and stuff. It's in a park and it just stays there. And there was a lightning storm a month ago or so, and there's an outer sort of subdivision around the park that you can't see or anything. It's just kind of far in the distance, and someone's shop got hit by lightning and it went on fire, and they were lucky their house didn't burn down, and the amount of rain they were having the same night actually saved their house. But every single appliance in their home that had like a little onboard computer, like a microwave or a refrigerator or a dishwasher, TV, they all fried. So in your, let's start it off like this. In your experience, a lightning strike in close proximity to a home, is surge protection going to help with something like that, a natural occurring event?
Yes and no. And the reason I say yes and no is because it all depends on the amount of energy. Mm-hmm. If you have a proximity lightning strike, and for those that don't know what a proximity lightning strike is, it's when lightning strikes within 3 to 5 miles of your home, especially when it's raining, so much static electricity is put in the air that it gets on power lines and phone lines and cable lines. ground wires, sprinkler systems, and all of those are paths directly to your home, right? So that's where the damage is created. And depending on that level of energy, a surge protector really should be able to knock that down, right? Now, if I go to the no side of it, when that energy is too strong, because a lightning strike can be 40 or 50,000 amps, and it's if it's a concentrated direct strike and it hits close enough to your home, not only will it go in through the utility wires, but it will spread out and go through every possible path in your house. And the surge protector is typically sitting on the outside protecting a single piece of equipment. So all bets are off. Proximity lightning strikes, yes, depending on the level. Direct lightning strikes, absolutely, all bets are off. And there's really a fine line between those two because it has to do with the proximity to your house.
Yeah, that well, that makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, obviously, the closer it is to your home, the more energy there is going through your home. Okay, cool.
Right.
Now, we're having this conversation about surge protection. It's an important one, especially with a lot of inverter equipment going in these days. I mean, everything is the more equipment I open, the more circuit boards I see rather than mechanical devices like contactors and relays and stuff like that. And I mean, these between a contactor and a relay and a circuit board, like some of these boards for depending on what it's going into, they could be in the thousands of dollars, right? So, I mean, that's why the surge protection conversation is really important. But you work for a company called Able Power Products and work in partnership with RectorSeal. Do you want to explain that a little bit, if you don't mind?
Yeah. So Able Power Products, my company, is a designer and manufacturer of surge protection, not only the devices, but the components that go inside those surge protectors.
All right.
So from a design standpoint, we really understand the functionality of a surge protector and the performance of a surge protector. We also design voltage monitoring equipment. And there's an important distinction between surge protection and voltage monitoring that we really need to talk about. That's one of the most important discussion points, especially when you're talking about protecting the equipment that you just listed. But as far as our relationship with RectorSeal, we met with RectorSeal probably 5 years ago, and RectorSeal was interested in getting into the surge protection and voltage monitoring space of the HVAC channel, and we were selected as their partner. So our role in that relationship is the design and manufacturer, and RectorSeal is obviously the brand name and the marketing horsepower in the channel. So that's the partnership. And we collaborate.
Okay.
You know, we started out with just a handful of products. Now we have about a dozen. And that was from a collaboration with RectorSeal and the distributors and contractors.
Mm-hmm. And you're located where, sorry? Are you, which part of the U.S. are you in?
Yeah, Able Power corporate headquarters is in Manassas, Virginia. I personally am located in Clearwater, Florida. That's where our sales and marketing office is. And, you know, one of my primary responsibilities is supporting the RectorSeal business. So I am the product champion, I guess you'd call them, or resident expert. So I just get involved from a support standpoint and go out and train contractors and distributors and wherever I'm needed.
All right, cool. So, I mean, can we talk, I know you brought up UL safety requirements and you did bring up the difference between voltage monitoring and voltage protection. So maybe before we get into, and do you want to talk about that first, or do you want to talk about the UL safety requirements that need to go into each component?
Probably the voltage monitoring, the surge protection.
Okay.
I'll tackle that one first, because there's an important distinction. And this is, I don't want to say this is misleading. It's more inaccurate or information that really needs to be updated. But a surge protector at one point was really the primary device to protect against whether it's utility generated power disturbances or weather related power disturbances, the surge protector was it. And then the customers were under the assumption that if I have a surge protector, I'm covered, regardless of the power disturbance. As long as I have that surge protector in there, I'm protected. Well, unfortunately, a surge protector was designed for one thing only, and that is surge current. And surges are measured in a millionth of a second. They're super fast and super small, and that's what a surge protector is designed to see. If that's what it sees, it will last for the life of the product, you know, depending on the manufacturer, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. The problem is, and the challenge is, and this started to unfold even before our partnership with RectorSeal, is there additional power disturbances out there that are wreaking havoc on sensitive electronic equipment, inverter boards, contactors, motors, you know, ECM motors, you name it. And two additional power disturbances outside of surge energy are pretty much utility generated. And this is a really important distinction. And whenever I do a training class, I really make sure people walk away with this aspect of these power disturbances. The surge energy is super quick, measured in a millionth of a second. When the utility during high demand periods cannot provide enough power to their customer base, right? Like in the middle of August, because everyone's cranking their air conditioner, they can't give you the 240 volts your system needs. So the utility ends up giving you 180 or 190. That's called a brownout, a sag, whatever you want to call it. It's got a couple of different names. But that is when power dips below that 240 volt level. Okay.
Using a combustion analyzer is really going to help you identify efficiency of appliances and if they're running safely. Okay, that's the main thing, really. We want to make sure things are running safe. And utilizing this on calls and maintenances, and every time you touch one, is not a bad idea. There's a lot of information out there now, a lot of courses, a lot of literature, videos. And if you're looking to get into the market with a combustion analyzer, the Testo 300 has a broad range of functions for residential, commercial, industrial. And I highly recommend the Testo 300 as the analyzer of choice if you guys are looking to purchase one. So the Ambro Controls torch set is really something that I've clung to all summer, spring, summer, and into the fall months. It's lightweight, it's got a smaller footprint, and it's very easy to carry around for small jobs like residential, like commercial, stuff like that. So if you guys are looking to get something smaller, easier to carry, we're trying to push this thing into the Canadian market. It's going to be soon. I don't know exactly when, but we're pushing for it as well. But it's available in the US right now, guys. So check out the Ambro Controls Oxy Set. So we're in this time and age right now where contractors are having a real hard time finding skilled people, even warm bodies to fill positions that they can train. That's why I've been kind of successful utilizing commercial companies and subbing out, because they don't even have enough guys. So they rely on subs to fulfill their work. So if you're having this kind of trouble finding the right candidates to work in your company and you haven't checked out WiseHire, just check them out. Give them a chance. You can come up with an ad real quick. And on the back end, they have experts that will optimize the ad to find the right people you're looking for. So check out WiseHire.com.
Issue one, a surge protector has a turn-on voltage. In the HVAC industry, a surge protector will turn on and start reacting at about 300 volts. If you have a brownout at 180 or 190 volts, the surge protector won't even see it. It's waiting for something at a higher level. So now you have a power event, probably number two. Number one is surge. Number two is brownouts that a surge protector can't protect you against. So there's still packaging out there that says surge protector for surges, brownouts, lightning, that's inaccurate. You know, it's not possible. Okay. A surge protector is just for surges, okay? So now we have this second power disturbance called a brownout. The third one is utility overvoltage. And this was brought to our attention by contractors because even the manufacturers of HVAC equipment are aware of this high voltage. Just like a brownout, this voltage lasts for seconds, okay? A high voltage event is when the utility has excess power. So during low demand periods, they end up putting 260 or 270 on the power line, but not for a millionth of a second. It happens for seconds, sometimes minutes. That'll kill a surge protector because a surge protector wants something quick and short, right?
Yeah.
So you need a separate device. Brownouts and utility overvoltages cannot be addressed with a surge protector. You need a separate technology called voltage monitoring or voltage cutoff devices. That's a couple different names. And the way those devices work is a surge protector, when it sees surges, clamps down on that energy and kicks it out via the ground wire and gets it out of the system. Okay. On the overvoltage and undervoltage conditions, the only way to safely protect your equipment during those events is to shut power off to the HVAC equipment. So you need to have a shutoff means, right? And that is what a voltage range monitor does. It allows you to program a device. So if it sees low voltage or high voltage, it will shut power off. So you're operating in a safe window. That is really what's driving the whole protection scheme for an HVAC system these days, because all three of those events generate a tremendous amount of heat, especially long duration events. And that's how you burn out inverter boards and equipment.
Like all in one devices or separate devices kind of paired with each other. Is that why you see these? Is because we're trying to deal with the over under voltages and the surge protection kind of together in one
That's
shot?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So ultimately when a contractor is faced with a situation where he could lose equipment from potentially lose equipment from high voltages and there's brownouts in that area as well as surge protection, now he realizes he needs multiple pieces of equipment. So from a convenience standpoint, you want to put the surge protector and the voltage monitoring device in a single enclosure so the contractor can protect, you know, the customer's investment from all three of those power disturbances, but only installing one device.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this.
It's really a convenience standpoint.
This is a service sort of question, because I've seen this question before online.
Okay.
The surge protection device, like I mean, I've seen the ones that kind of dangle outside, not dangle, but they're fastened with the nut to the disconnect box of a disconnect for an outdoor heat pump. Do these things have to be mounted outside of other electrical boxes, or can they be contained inside of, like, say you have a condensing unit, a refrigerator, walk-in box type thing, and you open up the panel, and I can mount it in the panel and close it. Is that acceptable, or does it have to be mounted outside of the panel?
No, it can be, depending on your rating.
Okay.
It can be mounted inside or outside.
All right.
Right. Typically, in the HVAC environment for a surge protector, the surge protector is going to be mounted outside the disconnect box. And the reason for that is most surge protectors have a diagnostic light.
That makes sense.
Typically, it's green means good. If the green light goes out, it needs to be replaced. And that's your visual notification that you're not protected and the unit needs to be replaced.
Okay, perfect. So that makes a lot of sense, and that kind of clears that up. So
yeah, that's why they're normally installed outside.
Okay, perfect. All right, so do you think that you've covered the brownout, the overvoltage and the surge protection? Do you want to move on to the UL safety stuff?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. So the point I wanted to make about UL, it has a lot to do with specifications, because years ago, when you were comparing surge protectors, you could use surge specifications, which make perfect sense, right? Which is the better surge protector based on maybe the number of hits it can take or the amount of energy it can absorb, things along those lines. Well, over the years, there have been some poorly designed surge protectors that have caused some catastrophic failures, fires in some cases, right? And UL is the safety agency for surge protection. And UL, due to those events, this was probably 8+ years ago, really started clamping down on the design of these products.
Okay.
And because of that, in order to get UL, you have to meet certain criteria, and everybody wants UL. There are other safety agencies out there. They aren't as well recognized. So everybody wants UL. In order to get UL on your product, to get that little logo on your product, you have to meet certain safety requirements. Those requirements are so strict that if you open up everybody's surge protector, they're almost identical.
Okay.
Right? Because they all have to meet that same safety criteria. On top of the fact that they're all being used for the same application. So because UL is so strict and our designs are so similar, we have to come up with other ways to differentiate ourselves from our competitors.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the only thing that is required on your documentation and on your product is UL's recognized test results. Everything else is a manufacturer spec, right? So you find manufacturers using their own test criteria and their own test data. And there's a lot of inaccurate, you know, like I said, not necessarily misleading, but it's just inaccurate information because you can throw anything you want out there.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question then. How come some devices are bigger and some are smaller? Is there a way to fit these UL safety requirements into a smaller container if possible? How come some are bigger?
Yeah, so this gets into a really, really interesting discussion on surge performance. Okay, so UL, in their safety testing, that's the key. UL is not a surge organization. They are a safety organization. They have two tests for HVAC surge protectors. They will either hit the products 15 times at 20,000 amps, and it has to survive to get the UL label.
Okay.
Or they'll hit it 15 times at 10,000 amps, and it gets the UL label. The 20,000 amp test is UL's highest rating. To get a 10,000 amp test is going to require different size components than a 20,000 amp test.
Oh, okay.
So that causes some products to be larger than the others. But here's the interesting thing. The UL test is a safety test, all right? Here's an example of what happens. They hit your product 15 times at 20,000 amps and it survives. Great. Here's the issue I have with that test. First of all, the surge protector is never going to see 20,000 amps. And it definitely will never see 20,000 amps 15 times in a row. You know, that type of electrical event isn't going to happen. 10,000 amps 15 times, that's still a tremendous amount of energy. The surge protector may see that once, but it's not going to see 10,000 amps 15 times in a row. Unrealistic in the real world. Okay, then why does UL do it? Why do we all have to spend the money to design to support those tests and get the UL logo? The reason is for safety. UL wants to make sure if these products see that amount of energy, they don't fail catastrophically, explode, catch fire, burn the side of your house.
Yeah.
It's purely a safety test. But because it's UL and because it's a third party, you see that specification put on products, you know, a lot of times on the label, it's required by UL.
Yeah.
So that's a specification that we use. And the unfortunate thing is, and we may have an advantage because we're a surge manufacturer with surge generating equipment, but we can hit our products 1,000 times at 1,000 amps, which is much more real world because the average surge is, you know, 500 amps to 750 amps. So that's a more real world test because surges are repetitive and surges are small. But that's a manufacturer spec.
Yeah.
It doesn't carry the weight of, the UL test.
Gotcha.
Right. But the UL test is a safety test. So we just keep going back and forth. That's where the specifications come from. And it also has an impact on the size of your products. Because if you want that 20,000 amp test, naturally you're going to have bigger components, so a bigger housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes sense. That clears that up. So, I mean, anything else with the UL safety stuff that we should be talking about right now, since we're on that subject?
No, just the, you know, I can never emphasize enough to anybody that you really shouldn't be installing equipment without the UL logo because you don't know what's inside and you don't know what energy it can safely pass.
Okay.
So just UL is key in the purchasing decision. And everything we manufacture has a UL rating. You just really is the only smart way to go.
Okay, so let's get into some of the design of the products that you are in and RectorSeal are in partnership together. Do you want to talk about how these things are designed? Because we talked about the UL, the safety requirements. So how do we go about designing these things to meet all of that, I guess?
Okay, so the this goes back to 5 years ago when we began our relationship with RectorSeal. One of the challenges was when RectorSeal had decided to go to market, there were 8 to 10 other competitors out there, all well-established, all with product lines, all with authorized distribution channels. But the opportunity for us was to see what was out there, and coming to the market late, maybe improve the technology, improve the design from a convenience standpoint, performance standpoint, whatever it might be. But one of the biggest challenges we are faced with, and this goes back to my discussion about because of UL, all these products look the same, right?
Yep.
So we didn't want to come to market with another identical product where we'd have to differentiate ourselves with things we don't want to go near, like lowest price and, you know, green box versus red box and green lights versus red lights, things that, you know, visually may have an impact, but from a performance standpoint, didn't separate us from the competition. So there was the technology that's used in all these surge protectors is called thermally fused metal oxide varistors. So MOVs is the acronym. And this is the device that's inside those surge protectors that has the ability to turn on in a millionth of a second. That's why everybody's using them. Okay. And now thanks to you all, they're safe. So the issue you have with those components, regardless of the industry, is every time they take a hit, they wear down. So they'll eventually wear down to the point where they need to be replaced. How long will that take? How many hits is that? I can't answer that question because it's all relative to the size of the surge energy, right? Smaller hits, it will last longer. Bigger hits, it will go quicker. So if we look at our competitors' warranties, the industry in general, the product warranties are 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And the reason for that is the components that make up the bulk of the design of, of these products have a lifetime. They're eventually going to wear down and need to be replaced. So our challenge was to develop a technology that would extend the life of the surge protector. So it wasn't 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years. So when the contractor put it on a system, it would last for lifetime. Let's call it life. All right. And the way we did without getting too far into the component level is we added a second stage of surge protection. So our components, we have MOVs just like everybody else. They take the initial hit. They transfer this energy to a component called a gas discharge tube. The gas discharge tube takes over the battle and our MOVs get to cool down because we have two stages. Meanwhile, all our competitors, their MOVs are fighting the battle the entire time. So naturally, the circuit's going to last longer because we have two stages fighting the surge battle. That component, the gas discharge tube, it's been around for a long time. AT&T used it as a surge protector back in the 60s and 70s for residential phone systems. But we found a way to incorporate it into the circuit to extend the life of the surge protector. So we gave all the RectorSeal surge protectors a lifetime product replacement warranty, regardless of cause, because of technology, not because somebody said 50 years, so we're going to say lifetime, right? Or somebody said 100 years, so we just up the ante. We offer that because this gas discharge tube extends the life of a surge protector. My company uses it in other markets. So we know it works, it's proven. So that's the biggest distinguishing thing from a technology standpoint. And probably one of the biggest changes in the HVAC channel in, I don't know, the last 10 or 15 years. So why isn't everybody doing it? It's not patented. It's because coordinating components like that takes design engineering. It's complicated. It's a simple addition, one component, but it's not a simple design. So that's what really separated us from the competition. And that's what got everybody excited about getting in this business, because that was this secret sauce that we had that would separate us.
All right. So how does that gas discharge tube work?
So the gas
discharge... Is it that obvious? It discharges gas from a tube? Like, what the name says it is?
Yeah, the way it works is, I have fortunately, I got our engineers to slow a video down long enough to show it in action. But what happens is the gas discharge tube, as soon as it takes the energy from those MOVs, it ignites. So it has an inert gas inside this glass tube. So it fires off every time it sees that energy, and it transfers that in the form of heat to the ground wire and out of the system. And it continues to do that. So every surge, it takes a hold of and kicks it out of the system and lets the main components cool down. But it actually ignites. It actually turns bright red for a microsecond.
And you said you have this on film?
Yeah, I have a little video that shows... it's actually a really cool video that shows the MOV and the gas discharge tube on a circuit board. And then the video, because you can't see the surge energy going into an MOV, that's nothing you can see visually, but you can see the energy being transferred to the gas discharge tube. And you'll see a ground wire right next to the gas discharge tube where it exits the system. So it's really a powerful visual demonstration of the component. It makes it that much more believable because you can't see inside the product, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. I would love to see that video if you're able to, if it's not a top secret video that you're able to share.
No, it's not. It's not. And, you know, I'd love to say it's patented, you know, technology and we invented the gas discharge tube and all that. But no, it's been out there before. We just introduced it to this industry.
If we're going to go and just have a general surge protector in our vehicles for like residential installs, even some light commercial. I mean, we get into larger commercial, we're probably going to be talking bigger things, bigger surge protection devices and so on and so forth. But for something to carry for sort of everyday general type stuff, what is a good couple of products to have?
Well, you always need to have surge protection, right? That is the number one power disturbance. So if you were going to do one thing, I would get a surge protector. So the RSH-50 is the RectorSeal go-to product. That's the product with the gas discharge tube that we use. It's attached to the AC disconnect. That's really our workhorse.
Okay.
Now, the voltage range monitoring technology, this was all driven by contractors. You know, this is from training sessions where contractors said, you know, I have this problem and this problem. What device can I use? That's how that kit came that we were talking about earlier, okay. How that design came about. So if there is electrical disturbances outside of surge issues like high voltage and low voltage brownouts, there's a product called the RSH-50 VRM kit that RectorSeal offers that covers all three of those power disturbances in one box. So you have the RSH-50 in there, then you have a voltage range monitor to shut off high power in the event of high power, in the event of low power. But one thing, I like to bring this up because this is absolutely contractor driven. And I just love when, the innovation and the development comes from the field for some of these products. But when we introduced the RSH-50 VRM kit, it was the all-in-one solution. That product sits on the side of the house between the disconnect box and the condensing unit. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're picturing the side of your house, you have two boxes, 60 amp disconnect, the VRM kit with the surge protector, and your condensing unit. So the contractor said to us, wouldn't it be nice if you could put the disconnect and the VRM voltage monitoring kit in one box? And I'm thinking, yeah, that would be nice, except you're going to have a box that's so incredibly large and expensive, it's just not going to be a feasible effort. But we found a 60 amp disconnect switch. That
I was going to ask you about that because I want you to clarify that, because yeah, I've seen that kit and it says 60 amp, but there's a range on that 60 amp, right? You can actually put it on systems that are smaller in amp draw, like 15 amp, 20 amp.
Yeah,
right?
It replaces a 60 amp non-fused disconnect. So the max is 60 amp. It can be used on anything less than that, right? So all it is a service switch, performing the same function as a disconnect, except we're eliminating the disconnect completely from the whole equation. So the wiring goes from the house to this box to the condenser. You now have one box on the side of your house that has a 60 amp disconnect switch, high voltage, low voltage cutoff device, and a surge protector in a NEMA 3R enclosure that's not much bigger than the original VRM kit, which is an absolute game changer. And it's really taken off because the people that asked us to put it together, you know, now have their solution.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just, there's probably people out there thinking, I just want you to ease their minds a little bit. Okay. Cause someone's going, okay, hold on. My unit is for 30 amp and I got a 60 amp breaker on the outside of the unit. Right. So, but they're still down and wherever that the main panel is, you're still going to size the breaker or size the fuses for the piece of equipment. Right. So just, for the contractors that aren't getting their head around the 60 amp breaker on the outside of the house, but the 15 or 30 amp inside, can you maybe just break that down a bit?
Yeah. So that's not going to change. The breaker that's inside the home is not going to change. And the confusion is, and I find myself doing it all the time, is because it's on a DIN rail and it looks just like a breaker, we refer to it as a 60 amp breaker, which can be confusing because then you got a breaker back at the panel, but its function and its design is really just an on-off switch to service
just
the
disconnect. Just a disconnect that has some protection behind it.
That's correct.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense.
Okay.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.